Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our weekly yearly cycle updates, where today we're going to be talking about this idea of Jesus saying, go, you give them something to eat. We're going to be taking a look at the parable of the landowner sending workers out into his field to work, and then also looking at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We're going to be looking at the connections between these, about how Jesus goes out and he finds people doing nothing. And we've been talking about this month of June in 2021, about how you've been anointed. God has anointed you. He's given you anointing, which is equipping and empowering to go and to do good, just like Jesus did, and to trust that as you do that, there's equipping, there's empowering. Not only will you take care of the needs of other people and be a blessing to other people, but you'll get taken care of as well. God will see to it that you are taken care of as well. But let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer, and get started with that, and then we'll do the other half of prayer real quick, and then we'll get into our training for today. So this 30-day prayer challenge, our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22, which says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse inspired me to create training for every area of life, for growing in our faith, for walking with God, for emotions and mindset and purpose and health and finances, for every area of life, and to pass it on to my children, hopefully grandchildren one day. And it turned into a whole program with books and courses and partners and all of these amazing things. And I really had no clue where to start when I made the commitment to get started with, but God has been faithful and he's shown up and he's shown me what to do as I've gotten started with it. I took the first step and I got started and he began to fill it in from there. It's amazing to see how faithful God has been. But out of everything we do, the first thing I would want to get established in someone's life, if we're guiding them through this program of the Abundant Life Blueprint, would be the 30-day prayer challenge process of praying this daily prayer. This is the prayer I pray over myself and my family, our partners, everybody connected to me. And praying this prayer is mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Praying this prayer and then doing the other half of prayer. I've taken a few minutes to get still, to listen, and to plan your day with God, and then to focus on executing, trusting that God is there, that he's with you, that he's anointed you, he's equipping you to get supernatural results in the things that you're doing. Let's get started with this prayer. And if you want to find more additional training on this prayer, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center .com, and on the free tools and resources page, you can find some additional training videos that go with this prayer, along with a tracker that you can use to plan your day and to evaluate how you're doing. But let's get started here. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this, and all of their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Lord, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named in this age and the age to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us, bless our time here together today, and to expand our borders and our territory. Expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace and your love and your goodness and all that you want to do in our lives, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to the people right around us, but also all over the world, Lord. And keep your hand on us. Help us do today, this day, what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we are getting into the summertime. It's getting hot out. The plants are growing. The fruit is starting to come in. We've got a cherry tree in our backyard, and we've got strawberries growing, and we've been getting just big, huge bowlfuls of strawberries, of cherries, almost every day lately. But this time of the year is also, remember, we got to be taking action, because to go out and to harvest cherries or to harvest strawberries, any kind of fruit, it takes some work. To go out into the field and to do some harvesting takes some work. We got to be taking continual action. We've been talking about this month. You've been anointed. God has equipped and empowered you with this anointing that gives you his supernatural power. It's set you apart. It's made you holy. It's made you consecrated to do good for the people right around you, and hopefully for people all over the world. But let's take a look at this story from Matthew chapter 20, of the parable of the workers in the vineyard. This is Jesus telling a parable in Matthew chapter 20, starting in the beginning of the chapter. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. And the first group he finds, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day, and he sent them into his vineyard." So notice this first group, they had an agreement. They're going to work the entire day, and they're going to get paid. Their wage is going to be a denarius for the day. That's that first group. Now notice, that first group was up early. The first group was up early. I was reading this today and just saw some things in there that I hadn't seen before. The first group was up early. They were ready to go. They're hard workers. And they're hard workers, and they're willing to trade their time for money. So sometimes that can be a trap we fall into, though. It says, about the third hour, he went out and he saw others standing in the marketplace, and they were doing nothing. They're just standing there. They're just standing there. Remember, this time of the year is a reminder we're supposed to be taking action. And he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So the second group has a different arrangement. He doesn't give them a guaranteed wage for the day. He doesn't give them a guaranteed wage for the day. He says, "I'll pay you whatever's right." So they actually, even though they were doing nothing, they actually got a different deal. They had to have a higher level of trust in the landowner. They had to have a higher level of trust in the landowner. He was not going to take advantage of them. He was going to pay them an appropriate wage. They had to have trust in him. The first group had less trust. They're harder workers, but they had less trust. Second group, lazier, but more trust, probably. Then he went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and he found still others who were standing around doing nothing. Again, they're standing around doing nothing. And he asked them, this is Jesus talking. You could say, Jesus is asking this question. "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" So we've been talking about, you've been anointed. You have an unction from the Holy One. And it says in 1 John chapter 2, you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. You know what to do. So on a weekly basis, we pray that prayer daily. God, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes. How do you know what to do? You have an unction from the Holy One. So the question is, are you doing those things? A weekly evaluation. Am I doing the things that I know to do? Am I just waiting around for Jesus to show up? Am I doing the things that I know to do? Or am I procrastinating on these things? And am I doing them with peace and joy and confidence in God? Am I doing the things that I know to do? Am I doing them with a good attitude? And remember, God taught me this lesson once before. I was rating my levels of peace and joy and confidence in him, like 0 to 10. How is my level today? And God says, hey, stop rating your levels. It's either yes or no. Either you are functioning in my anointing and my peace and my joy and faith, or you are not. It's yes or no. This time of a year is a remember. You're either hot or cold as well. He said, you've been standing here all day doing nothing. And he said, why are you doing this? And he said, well, because no one's hired us. So they're just standing around doing nothing because no one told them what to do. We have to have some initiative. Jesus says, go into all the world. It's been a commandment. Go. But he said, no one's hired us. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Now notice this last group. They did nothing, but they had a high level of faith and a high level of trust. Why? The first group would only go work for a wage of a denarius. The second group went and worked when he told them he would pay them, but he would pay them what he thought was right. This group has no guarantee. He just says, go. Just says, go. And isn't that what Jesus has told us? Go. Go. Go make disciples. Go teach the people everything I've taught you. Go. Go work in my vineyard. That's all he says. Just go. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each of them received a denarius. So the guys that only worked 1 hour, even though they had been lazy, they actually had the highest level of trust. And they received a denarius for the day, even though they only worked 1 hour. But each of them also received a denarius. So the other guys also got a denarius. But isn't that what the people agreed to? That's what they agreed for. They agreed to a set wage. And what part of the learning lesson here is the better option is just go and to just trust that God is going to supply and take care of you better than if you get work for an agreed upon wage. Some of the Bible verses talk about not going out and doing things for a price or reward. We just go because we do it to honor God. And trusting that if we do that, he's going to take care of us. And we're going to see an example of that here in the parable or the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. But each of them also received the denarius. And when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. So they began to complain against the landowner because they had worked the whole day and got the same pay as the guys who worked 1 hour. But the problem was they didn't have as much trust. They were hard workers. And a lot of people fall into this. They're hard workers. They're willing to work hard, but they don't have a lot of faith and trust that God's going to supply. And they're trying to do everything by their own strength rather than resting and trusting. And they said, these men who were hired last only worked 1 hour. And they said, you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? That was their agreement. That was their contract. That's what they said. These other guys had completely different arrangements, nothing to do with them. They should not have been complaining. Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. So now let's go back a few chapters in Matthew. This is back in Matthew chapter 14. This is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we're going to see here the disciples. Let's do something with what you have. Rather than standing around doing nothing, let's do something with what you have and trust that God's going to multiply it. Trust that there's an anointing on you. You have an unction. You know what to do. And as you get started and take action and focus on being a blessing to the people around you, God's going to multiply it and you're going to get taken care of in the process. So when Jesus had heard about John the Baptist being beheaded, he withdrew by a boat privately to a solitary place. So Jesus wanted to be alone for a little bit. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and he healed their sick. God is a God of compassion. We talked about earlier today. He's a God of steadfast, unfailing love. And he loves people. He doesn't like to see people suffering. And we can appeal to his steadfast love. They reached out to him, even though Jesus wanted to be alone. They reached out to him by faith and said, hey, we need your help. And as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. But Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. So it's rather than standing around, waiting to do nothing, like those guys in the parable, do something. Take the little bit that you have and do something with it. Strengthen what remains. Take the little bit you have and trust God to multiply it as you go. He says, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. And Jesus said, bring them to me. Take the little bit you have, bring it to Jesus. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And some of the versions say he directed them to sit down in groups of like 50s or 100. So he got them organized. He got everything in order. Grace flows when there's more order. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. This is a pattern of Jesus. You see this on the Last Supper and you see it after his resurrection. He gave thanks and then he broke. Gave thanks, broke. As a reminder, he gave thanks and his body was broken. And that's where the supply comes from. And then he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave it to all the people. As the disciples gave it to all the people, the food multiplied, and all the people ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 5,000 men, besides women and children. So 5 loaves, 2 fish, fed 5,000 men and women and children. So a lot of people. And there were 12 basketfuls left over. So I feel like what God is saying, take what you have, go. How can you be a blessing to the people right around you? We prayed last week. God, send us some people today who need you. Send us some people that we can help. Send us some people who can be a blessing to us in our just everyday life. And God is saying, take what you have. Take the wisdom, take your encouragement, take your money, your resources, your time, and go. Go be a blessing to the people right around you. And trust that as you do, God's going to multiply. And notice this. When they were done, there were 12 baskets left over. How many disciples were there? 12 disciples. Each disciple, when they were done, had a full basket of food. Notice the disciples only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I think they might have even got that from a little kid. They didn't have any when they started. The disciples had nothing when they started. And when they served the people, when they gave the people something to eat, they brought it to Jesus and they turned it around and they gave it to the people, they were more than taken care of. So as this anointing flows, we've been talking about, as the anointing flows, it is meant to serve the people around you, but you also get taken care of in the process. As the anointing flows, you need, it's going to bring health, it's going to bring time, it's going to bring resources and provision that you need to serve the people. As you go, as you just go and you trust, you go work in the vineyard and you go do the thing. What do? You do the things that you know to do. You see opportunities. Every time you see an opportunity to do good, you take it and you go and you trust that God's going to supply you. As you go, he's going to supply the health that you need to do it. He's going to supply the time, the money, the resources, whatever you need to go. And only that, you're going to get taken care of in the process. You're going to have an abundance in the process as you go about this. But let's take communion over this idea. I like to take communion over the upcoming week. This is a reminder, when we take communion, how are you doing the last week? Are you doing the things that you know to do? Are you doing them with a good attitude? How is your peace? How is your joy? How is your confidence in God? Are we focused and get our mind fixed on the things above? Are we worried about all the things going around us? And every time we take communion, we do so with holy awe and reverence and delight for God and for Jesus and for what he did for us. And every time we take communion, it's like a transition. We're releasing the old, we're releasing the last week. And we're transitioning into this new week. And we're going to take this anointing God has given us where we know what to do. And we're going to put it to work. We're going to put it into action and serve the people around us, trusting that as we do, there will be more than enough to take care of us as well. But Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he said, "This is my body broken for you." And Lord, we ask you to bless this bread. In Jesus' name. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks for it. Father, we just thank you for this cup and we bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night he was betrayed after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Not the old, the new. We're releasing the old. We're transitioning into the new. We got a new week starting. Fresh start. We're transitioning into this new. And we're going to take the things that we know to do. Trust that there is an anointing. We have an unction and we know what to do. And we're going to execute those things this week. And we're going to do it with peace and joy and confidence in him. Trusting that he's with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents. Communion is a truly powerful thing. We're taking the sacrifice of Jesus that happened over 2,000 years ago. We're bringing it into the present moment. We're receiving his sacrifice and this new covenant, making it real, making it relevant in our lives right now in this present moment. I believe it can truly change the trajectory of our lives. We're taking spiritual principles. We're taking our mind and imagination and visualizing these things along with something practical and physical in the cracker and the juice of something that we actually do. We're uniting our entire spirit, our soul, and our physical body all together. And I truly believe it can change the trajectory of our lives. But now we got to walk it out. So let's make a decision that this week, I'm going to take action. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on God. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the things above where he has steadfast, unfailing love for me. And his love never fails. And I'm going to trust that the things I'm supposed to be doing, I know what to do. I'm going to start taking action on those things. What are the things that I've been procrastinating on? What are the things I know to do, but I haven't done anything with them? What are the things that have been stirring on the inside of me to do, but I haven't done anything with them? I'm going to take the little bit that I have. I'm going to get started. I'm going to trust that God's going to multiply it, and it's going to grow, and it's going to be more than enough, because God is always more than enough as I go. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.